PW Hustle Networks present PWR at the Movies. Join the professor, Tommy Wonder, and JB as they discuss the greatest pro wrestling moments in movie history.
Let's go around the house. Let's check it out.
We're back.
We have big problems here. I have at least three dead cops in there, maybe more. There's an entire family butchered at the dining room table.
It's Moloch.
They've grown stronger. Only an innocent soul can set them free. Free from hell. But I've got a one-way ticket back to hell right here.
Nights, what is going on there to the Beano Ice, the Hobby Knights, the probationary PWC Ice? You know, I'm still watching you, Jimmy. I'm still watching you. I don't know what the hell you're doing on the PWC, but I'm still watching you. You know, I'm like the warden right now. I don't know what you're doing. I'm putting you in solitary confinement, Jimmy. It's all right. You know, it's all love. You know, you got to be on 24-hour lockdown from the professor and PW, but neither here nor there, because we're in a celebratory mood. We are in a mood of mood because, again, it is PWR at the Movies here at the High Mean Media Group at PowerBeam.com. And, you know, I'm not trying to punish the Reflection Knights. No. That is never my intentions of punishing you with back-to-back PWR at the Movies. But before I explain why we're doing back-to-backs, I must introduce myself because I am vain like that. I must introduce myself because, again, you can see, well, for the video Reflection Knights, I know the audio is, you know, audios, y'all get jealous, right? Because you're missing the facial expressions of the professor. You're missing the facial expressions of TW. You're missing how TW always looks like he does not want to be on TV, and then looks to his left, looks to his right, looks to his, you know, toy collections and action figures and all that stuff, goes to the bathroom, takes a shit, neither here nor there. But again, I try to give you that picture in your head for the audio reflections. But I am the most charismatic one. I am the most studious one. I am the most effervescent one. But most importantly, I am the glorious one. The only objective man in this IWC, YWC, and the probationary Jimmy PWC punditry. The only objective man in this political hemisphere. The only objective man that should have been on jury duty to be at that Donald Trump trial, because of course, I call it right down the middle. If I hear the facts, he'll be guilty. If I hear the facts, I'll say not guilty. That's the way I am. The Professor Chabelle Cruz. And I'm not here alone. No. I am here with my brother from another mother. The conservative liberal. The liberal conservative. Dum-dum doing it its own. The iron stomach one. Dr. Freaking Stein himself. And the man who came from Florida with a tan. The undisputed, undeniable Detroit heavyweight champion of the world! Woo! Tommy Wonder, how you doing, my friend? He looks all tan and good, and now he's playing with the goddamn camera. See,
I can't stand how I look on this damn camera.
I'm giving the audio reflection. That's like what the they're fucking, missing.
What's the guy that Jody Hamilton, the head of the fucking Kevin Sullivan family? What the hell is his name?
Jody, who the hell are you talking about? Kevin Sullivan?
the leader of Kevin Sullivan when they finally showed him. The big fat white guy with the Abdullah the Butcher forehead.
Oh, I forgot his name. I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
Jody Hamilton is his real name, but he's the one that gave Scott D'Amore the break.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't like how I look on this fucking camera.
It don't matter how you look.
You forgot your most important handle.
And what's that?
The P. Diddy of the PWR.
I'll take that, yeah.
That videotapes running bustos on all them dudes from his DMs.
You know what? I got mind controls on them. But again, neither here nor there.
That's not a denial.
I say take that. That's what it is. It's about that. But you was in control.
You hear what I said, you do?
I know what you said, but that means
you
I'm in control.
Yourself I'm in control. Bust those on the dudes in your DM.
Me, Epstein, Diddy, Harvey Weinstein, we are controlling the world here, edifying everybody. But again, what's up with you in Florida, man? You got the tan. You're looking good. What's going on with you, TW, before we get into this?
I'll tell you what. It was awesome. And so my new philosophy. Everybody thinks I have like 197 vacation days. I do not.
Yes, you do.
Most of us have 2 days off a week. The normal people get Saturday, Sunday. I don't. I get Sunday, Monday. So I took Friday, Saturday, flew to Florida on Friday, flew home on Monday, and then had to be to work like 8 hours later, and it sucked. But I'd rather do that and spend a little bit more time in sunny Florida than be in this fucking frozen-ass town. And today, I was driving with my windows down, with my glam rock playing loud because it was an accident on the freeway. And I was like, I'm going to make these motherfuckers hear my music. So I did it. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. 64 degrees when you're walking is nice. 64 degrees when you're driving with the windows down, not so much. I was freezing my ass off. But I sacrificed comfort for style so these motherfuckers could hear my glam rock. But a week ago, I was golfing in 84 degree weather. And by the way, I didn't know I liked birds so much until I saw all the beautiful birds in Florida. They got some pretty damn birds. This bird was jet black, looked like a crow up here that is just jet black. But then when you caught it in the light, it had your logo. It was like a rainbow. It was like mm-hmm. when you looked at it, you saw different colors coming out.
Wait, my logo is a rainbow? What the hell?
Flag in the background. You got buzzed out right over there. I see it right over there.
Hail to the knob. But anyway. Keep going with your goddamn story, please.
Your DM flag. But no, just, I'm telling you, man, my biggest fear for Florida is all the knuckle dicks that are leaving California that are going to Texas and Florida because they hate the taxes and everything in California. And they're going to go there and vote the same damn way and turn Florida and Texas into the same shithole that California is for financial reasons. And it's going to suck. And then I have to pick a new state. Because I love the sun.
That'll be Iowa, Idaho.
They get winter, don't they?
So?
I want a winter-free state. I want the annual low to be 55 or higher. I hate being cold. I hate it.
That probably would be North Carolina. That's as close as you'll get. Is that right?
It's funny you say that. It's 2018, the last time the Washington Capitals and the only time won the Stanley Cup. There's my thing. I switched over to Capitals gear because the Red Wings shit the bed. They actually didn't. Philadelphia should have been. Blame you guys over there by Jersey. But I went to Carolina and saw the Capitals beat the Carolina Hurricanes, and it was 65 degrees in January. And I told my buddy Gio Cooley, hey, man, I might have to move to this motherfucker. 2 years later, I was in Florida on the same week in 2020, maybe 2021. It was 2021. 2020, I didn't go to Florida. I'm in Florida. And he texts me, man, I wish I was at the beach. I'm like, brother, it's 30 minutes away. Drive your ass to the beach. He goes, brother, it's 44 degrees. And I go, oh, what? I go, when I was there 2 years, 3 years ago, it was 65. He goes, yeah, then, but today it's 44. I go, it's out. I'm out. Can't do it.
That's global warming. See, you know, that's what it
got to be. Global warming making it colder.
I'm just saying. It's global warming. It's climate change. All that stuff. Recycle reflection. That's recycle. But again,
Money grab.
Give me that money. I need all that money. Take the money, TW. What's wrong with you? I don't care about them. I don't care if it's real. Take the money.
They're taking our money.
I'm just saying, take the money.
Hey, Google how Al Gore became a billionaire after leaving office with only being worth $200,000. It's called green energy.
Again, take the money. That's all I'm saying.
They ain't giving me money, or I would take it.
Join the cause and take the money. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Join the dark side.
Join the dark side, yeah.
Yes, join the dark side, doofus. But anyway, neither here nor there.
I'm pretty close to doing that.
Good, man. Just join it, man. The devil wants you. Not the New Jersey devil.
The devil.
Yes. Anyway, Reflectionites, welcome to the PWR podcast here at the Hami Media Group at Podbean.com. And of course, welcome to another special edition of PWR at the Movies. And again, this was not the professor's pick. My pick was 2 weeks ago. I already did my movie. But TW was adamant. TW said he watched this, you know, this came on after the movie. I asked him to watch the Kurt Angle movie. And he said, we have to do this movie. And the professor being the oh so, you know, glorious one that he is. And, it's not about it's what I want. It's about what the Reflectionites wants. It's about what TW wants. And of course, see, that's right. When I say something like that, I get a ding. And the ding means I'm right. But anyway, neither here nor there. But when TW says, Professor, we must do this movie, I say, okay, I'm game. I want to do this. I want to do this for TW. I said game, G-A-M-E. Oh. Jesus Christ, man.
I was going to celebrate with you, man. I was like, yeah, I got a gay friend.
You don't have to celebrate nothing. But anyway,
I actually do have gay friends. I can pick you up.
Take that. But anyway, neither here nor there. But let me get back to my spiel, my diatribe, if you will. TW said, let's do this movie here. And the professor said, okay. So, you know, TW, you pick this one. You pick this quirky horror film called Army of the Damned from 2013. And of course, you know, I'm looking for wrestlers here first and foremost. And we got some cameos. We got some people that make some appearances here. We got Tommy Dreamer. We got Selena Vega, aka Tia Trinidad. We got Maria Kanellis. We also got porn sensation Jasmine St. Clair.
Is that who the blonde was?
No, that was the brunette at the end. When she was the CIA agent. Trust me, she was in the movie. But anyway, neither here nor there. I'm just giving you the cast.
I can picture Jasmine now. I can picture her.
Wasn't you like 245 in the gangbang?
Oh, she's her? That's Bill Maher's bitch?
I don't know if it's Bill Maher's, but she's number... That was Blue Meanie's bitch.
Oh, in ECW?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you wasn't 245 in that movie? I'm just saying. Well, we're in here then.
I'm number one, or I'm out.
Oh, okay. I thought you was 245 in the movie. I'm not. But anyway.
That's 243 too many dicks.
That's true. But again, I don't know. Maybe you was online, you was patient, and you was just reading your paper, just waiting for your turn. But anyway, those were the cast of characters in this movie. So
Joy Fatone, motherfucker, my doppelganger. That's the reason.
First of all,
Sully.
Number one, shut up. Number two. I was going to go with the flow of the show here, and I said TW, and I was going to say, TW, what was your rationale of picking this movie? What was your thought process? Or you just saw this after the movie I had you watch the first time.
It came on immediately. I see Tommy Dreamer and Selena, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, they're making movies too? And then the next thing I see is Sully from Godsmack, and then I see Joey Fat One, my doppelganger. I didn't even know Maria Kanellis was in it until I watched it. Or Jasmine St. Clair. The dude from The Hills Have Eyes is in this motherfucker. The one that in RoboCop gets hit by RoboCop's car and his head rolls up the window because he got splashed with the acid.
Michael Berryman. Crazy Arrow.
Yes. And it's but I'm going to say this first and foremost. Last week, or last show, I said, this is the worst one we ever did. And the more we talked about it, it's still Wrestlers vs. Zombies. That's easy to say. But that Kurt Angle movie's close. And I will say this. This movie ain't shit, but it's better than the Kurt Angle movie.
I actually will agree 1,000% on this. This was a quirky horror film, Reflectionites. And again, bad camera angles, bad everything, but... I have to give the MVP of this movie, Reflectionites, and TW. I don't know. Again, We'll talk about certain things that happened in this movie. And again, TW will try to do the fast forward logic of doing this show. You know, he won't. I'll tell you what happens in 5 minutes, and then that's it.
I've stopped myself twice from doing that already.
I know you will. But again, we must do a show. This is the way we have to do this. We might give you the abbreviated microwavable review of this movie, but we'll do our best to have some fun with this because the professor's not mad about this movie. It was quirky. That's what I'll say. It's a quirky, campy horror show that, you know, you could watch on, one boob scene, yes, but you could watch this late night on Cinemax. You could watch this late night on Showtime or HBO. You could watch this on Tubi or Netflix. It's one of those things if you're sick with the flu and you really need either to go to sleep or you just need something that's kind of therapy, this movie has it all for you. That's all I'm just going to say. But Before my diatribe and I'm going on a tangent, the MVP of this movie is a wrestler, TW. I cannot deny this. And I have to give kudos to Tommy Dreamer. Because number one, in this movie, Reflectionites, Tommy Dreamer, he actually, you know, brought his childhood back into this movie. And I'll explain why, TW. Because again, when you're a little kid from Yonkers, New York, a little town, you could say, you know, a quaint town of New York, upstate and all that stuff, whatever the case may be. But Tommy Dreamer knew those police officers, if you will. So he brought that element of the Yonkers Police Department into his character. And of course, within this movie, he dies, Reflectionites, no pun intended. But the dude was funny as a possessed, zombified, you know, police officer too. But in my humble opinion, in this movie, he was the MVP. What say you, TW? Or did you find other quirky people besides your doppelganger Joey Fatone as the MVP of the movie?
Joey Fatone is the worst. I didn't even see where he got killed. I only knew he died because the girl goes, "The remnants of the cameraman is at the top of the stairs." And I'm like, oh, he did die. Because mm-hmm. I was fucking falling asleep off and on watching this shit today in the morning. But what I like about Tommy Dreamer, he's definitely an MVP because he comes on as being the disgruntled police officer who says life is boring in Salem, and I think it's
Salem County, yes.
And he says, man, I just want a bank robbery or something. Sully says the same thing when he's being interviewed by who I thought was Jasmine Sinclair when you said she was in it. But Tommy Dreamer ends up being basically a glorified extra until he gets whacked, and then he becomes the heel. Candyman's in that motherfucker is a bad guy who's a good guy at first. But the thing that I think Tommy Dreamer did, and maybe you didn't think it when you heard it, but you're going to agree with me when I say it.
Okay.
He is 100% straight out of a Jersey Trilogy Kevin Smith movie. He's Dante. He's Randall. He's Brody. He's all of them, the way he talks and tells the story. I even saw a little hint of Matt Cardona. So apparently it's not just a Jersey thing. It's a Jersey, New York thing. Where
it's a tri-state thing.
Bridge and tunnel fucking situation. It's
all connected, TW. Right. New York, New Jersey, right. Philadelphia, and all that stuff.
Because it didn't remind me of Jersey Shore, but it reminded me of Kevin Smith and all the guys in those movies. And I'm like, Tommy Dreamer would fit right in. If he was in Clerks or Mallrats, he'd fit right in. Because it's almost like, you know, they're telling a rehearsed line, but it comes across as...
Put it this way, TW. You agree with this sentiment. Tommy Dreamer as a cop, you believe it because, like I said, he brought that Yonkers, New York attitude within the police, with that police department, his experiences with that into this role. I'm not saying it was 100%, you know, truthful.
He wasn't bad. But you can tell he was acting, is what I would say. That's what I mean. It's not bad acting, but it's acting.
And, you know, again, with certain nuances within this movie, TW said the Candyman, Tony Todd, was in this movie. Again,
billing. He's the first bill at the top when it comes on.
And of course, the Hills Have Eyes guy, Michael Berryman, who had the role of Crazy Arrow. Of course, Tommy Dreamer had a partner in crime, if you will, and that was Selena Vega, aka Tia Trinidad. TW, this is Not Selena Vega. This is Tia Trinidad from TNA days. This is 2013, 2014 timeline. So before we get into this movie reflection, we got to talk about the business, because we know Tommy Dreamer is in TNA wrestling, or he's doing his own indie bookings, if you will. He has the House of Hardcore. Yep. House of Hardcore. Yeah. Tia Trinidad, a.k.a. Selena Vega, is part of LAX in Impact Wrestling. So again, like we said on the last episode of the PWR at the Movies, these wrestlers are trying to cross over into Hollywood lore. They're trying to get on the Harvey Weinstein casting couch. They're trying to take it up the butt from Diddy and all this stuff. Don't give me that look. It's the truth. What? I'm just giving you the thing. But the funny thing is, Maria Kanellis was still in WWE, so this was an ensemble cast.
She's Candyman's partner.
Yeah, she was part of the elite assault team and all that stuff. So what's AEW?
We are the backup.
This is a marriage, you could say, made in heaven, because there's a lot of cooperation here between Impact Wrestling and WWE, Indies, and all that stuff. So
and Hollywood.
And Hollywood itself.
Dude from Baywatch is in it, too.
But that has nothing to do with WWE. That has nothing to do with Impact Wrestling. Focus.
But you also have Hollywood people in here. You got Sandman. No, you got porn. You got Baywatch. You got all kinds. You got music. Godsmack. And NSYNC.
But wait a minute, TW. See, now that you can hear it in his voice reflection, that he is now starting to get into this movie. He might have fell asleep when he was reviewing it, but he's getting into it because he knows that the movie is a sleeper. It has untapped potential. But let's get into the part of the wrestling realm, because again, this is a nice cooperation between Impact Wrestling and WWE, because Vince McMahon is like, I don't care. Movie doesn't mean nothing to me. You can join in because Vince McMahon is a prick. He's a stickler. He's like, no, Maria Kanellis should be a part of, you know, WWE studios and WWE films, because I think this is her last year before I think she goes. If I'm not mistaken, this might be her last year. Or no. I'm actually mistaken, TW. She's not in WWE. She is gone because she joins her soon-to-be husband, Mike Bennett, on the indie scenes, and Mike Bennett was in ROH at the time. So I'm mistaken, Reflection Ice. Maria Kanellis is on the indie circuit. So there is no cooperation between, you know, Impact Wrestling and WWE for this. But we say this a lot of times, CW, that, you know, some wrestlers get that Hollywood bug. You know, like I said, we said it on the last episode, Kurt Angle had that Hollywood bug. You know, Tommy Dreamer does not have the looks of a David Chokichi, like you was gonna say. He has that dad bod and all that stuff. So he's not gonna be on Tiger Beat's, you know, 10 sexiest men, 10 sexiest Hollywood actors. But Tia Trinidad and Maria Kanellis are sexy ass, fine ass females that can, you know, have a couple of more starring roles, if you will. So what say you about, you know, them trying to cross over into the Hollywood lore, if you will?
Tia Trinidad. She also came across as the reason I said Bridge and Tunnel is there's Ed Wood is my favorite director. Not Ed Wood. Ed Burns is my favorite director. Ed Wood is a director.
He's talking about Wood. Reflection.
Yeah.
Again.
It's like I'm in your DMs. But
I got the receipts.
The Bridge and Tunnel Gang or whatever the hell. It's a movie or a series on MGM, I believe it's on. But she reminds me of like a girl that would be in the summer of 84 or whatever, the dreamer who wants to get out of the small town in Jersey and make it somewhere. And she's excited about the Cops show. I think whatever show that Joey Fatone was filming for, she was excited for it. Tommy Dreamer was like, this shit is boring. Why would they record Detroit? Yeah, Chicago, but here? Actually, he said Detroit and Philadelphia, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but here in Salem, nothing happens here. There's good people here. Good people don't do shit. So I like their interaction together. I actually like Sully. He's overacting. But a lot of times, you know what? Is it really overacting or is it bad writing and someone just trying to make the best of it? And because really, even Sully, other than the cheesy lines that he had, and I can't remember them all, but when he was talking or whatever, he felt like a real actor in a movie or whatever. And
Sully had a backstory, TW, because he wanted to do it for his father, who was I think, the sheriff of Salem County. So he was keeping the family tradition going, if you will.
Right.
Just answering your question right there. But within this movie, Reflection Nights, the plot is simple. You know, and TW, you know, we always talk about bad writing, but the plot is very, you know, self-explanatory. A reality show crew comes into Salem County and is trying to do an episode of Cops, if you will, Reflection Nights. So, you know, it is what it is. And you got resistance from Sully, who is, I guess you could say, the head, you know, the sheriff of Salem County. You had some pushback from Carpoza, which is played by Tommy Dreamer, and his partner Tia Trinidad is actually wants to be on TV because she thinks this is a springboard. A Cops episode is a springboard to Hollywood fame and fortune. But Tommy Dreamer is a man that wants to stay true to his small town roots and all that stuff. He doesn't feel like Cops deserves to be in Salem County. So lo and behold, Reflection Nights, they, you know, the police department gets supposedly a domestic disturbance call, you know, 911 calls, and then you just hear yelling and you just hear screaming and all that stuff, and the phone just cuts off. So, of course, who are the first two to go into this, you know, I guess you could call it a haunted house on, the, you know, at the backside of the of Salem County, if you will, because the funny thing is once the call came, TW, this was the funny faux pas. When the call came of this domestic disturbance, in air quotes, TW, it was daylight. By the time Carpoza and Tia Trinidad responds to the call, that was a long-ass drive because it turned into the night really, really quickly. So if it were, if they got the call at 12 o'clock...
Right, that's when you got the call from the titties.
I'm just saying, if it was 12 o'clock, they got the call, that was a six-hour drive. It turned dark really, really quick. So they wanted to bring that element of, you know... They wanted to bring that horror element. So what say you? Because again, the plot is simplistic, but the plot is something that you and I cannot get mad about. You know, we always talk about the writing sucks. The right. Yes, I get the dialogue. The dialogue always sucks. Tommy Dreamy has some quirky lines. Chokichi has some quirky lines. Like you said, Sully has some quirky lines. Even Tony Todd has some quirky lines. But we're not talking about the quirky, stupid lines. I'm just talking about the plot of the movie because it's simplistic.
But well, yeah, can I give you the plot, the big picture plot, or are we waiting for the big reveal of what they find?
Whatever you want, TW. I know so how you do it.
They go to the house, and they're looking. He's like, it's a ghost town. It's like they didn't pay the late bills. All the cheesy lines. And then Tia's putting her thing in there and sees a little girl. So they go in the house looking for the little girl and somehow can't smell the smell of dead bodies until they're in the house from outside. And it's a masker. There's a curtain that's drawn to stop blood splatter. Yet there's blood splatter everywhere. And they're trying to find this girl. So you don't really know if the girl's the bad guy. You don't know if she's whatever. Turns out the whole point of the movie is the people that killed all these other people need a virgin soul so they can stop stealing people's bodies and walk the earth as what they used to be. And they need the soul of this little girl first, who's apparently the only young virgin in Salem.
I guess so. Yes.
It ain't Thea. Tommy Dreamer's probably hitting it on the break.
No, that's an assumption today.
Well, it's not Jody Hamilton I look like. It's King Curtis Ikea.
Oh, okay. That's
who was the Dungeon of Doom guy.
You know what I love about TW Reflected Ice? When something irks him, he's like, I gotta get this right. I know how he is because I look at him on the video, and I know he's like looking down. He's trying to do the multitasking. I can see the hand moving down. Not in that, you know, no Diddy way, but I know he's doing something with his hands and he's looking for something. He's Googling it. He will not
Wikipedia. Which I have another question for you. Because I Wikipedia Dungeons and Doom members. And you know what the first member is on there? Top of the list. First guy they say is a member of the Dungeon of Doom. And I went, huh? Lex Luger.
He was a... I can't call him an official member, but he was kind of like an ally to the Dungeon of Doom. Remember, he betrayed Hulk Hogan at Halloween Havoc 1995. And then he was kind of like, he was counseled by the wise man, Jimmy Hart. But that doesn't mean
he screwed WWE over?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jimmy Hart's a member of the Dungeon of Doom, too. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, 95. All that stuff is right there. So it's not surprising. But anyway, let's get back into this movie.
Guy went from being the WWE to being the guy on Nitro to being in the fucking Dungeons & Doom. Talk about immediate regret.
He was an ally. He wasn't in the Dungeons & Doom fully.
That's worse. Again, you're not even good enough to be in the member. You gotta just help him. You gotta be their fucking fluffer.
We're doing a movie. We're not going episodic, oh. TW. I'm just saying. I'll say that for another. We'll say that for another show. But anyway, let's go back.
Luger in the Dungeons & Doom.
So now Tommy Dreamer and Tia Trinidad are responding to this call. And again, this is a haunted house. It is Hills. You know, within this movie, you could say Hills Have Eyes. You could say, you know, what's another one? Texas Chainsaw Massacre comes to mind. You could say, what other family?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, of course, with the possessions. But again, Tommy Dreamer and Tia Trinidad are responding to this call. And then this little girl, who looked like Little Red Riding Hood, reflection. She had a red hood over, and she just kept running around. She just did not want to be caught. I don't know if she was officially dead, TW, because we heard some quirks that she was cold and had no pulse, but you could feel her. So she's not a soul.
And she's walking.
Neither here nor there. But I must commend the expert acting of Tommy Dreamer and Tia Trinidad. You know, and what I mean by this reflection is the way they responded going into the house. We know they were going to get killed. So that's what I'm just saying. It was excellent acting. That's why I said Tommy Dreamer is an MVP. He knew he was going to get killed, but he made it look like an Oscar performance. What say you about them dying?
When Thea gets killed, they use the exact same death scene for a different guy to get killed later on.
Mm-hmm.
The stab from behind. That little girl, who's scared, runs downstairs instead of out of the house. And mm-hmm. she runs down to Tommy Dreamer, who hears a thud and two gunshots and went, damn it, Lauren, or whatever the fuck her name was. And then the little girl comes running down the stairs, and Tommy Dreamer goes, hey, it's going to be okay, little girl, come here. And she's like, no. And he goes, where's my partner? Where's the nice old lady? Where's the nice little lady?
Tia Trinidad's character name is Lawson. It's Carpoza Lawson. And Lawson, yes.
Yeah, Lawson. And he goes,
Hold on. How the hell a Puerto Rican chick get a last name Lawson? You could have called her
By marriage.
I don't know if she was not married. No.
She's divorced. She's banging Tommy Dreamer now.
That's what I'm saying. But she her last name should have been Martinez. Come on. Let's get stereotypical here. But again, go ahead, TW. I'm just going.
But it's bad acting. That's not. Tommy Dreamer goes, where's my partner? Where's the nice little lady that helps you? That partner with. And then he gets whacked. Way too many easy death scenes.
But I'm just saying that Tommy Dreamer and Tia Trinidad knew that this was their moment to shine. They had to die. Well, you didn't see Tommy Dreamer's death. You saw Tia Trinidad's death, like you said. And it kind of reminded me of the Kurt Angle movie, River of Darkness, because she got killed, you know, she got stabbed from behind. You didn't see the person stab. You didn't see the stabber. You just saw the knife go right through her chest and all that stuff. Wish some titties popped out, but that's just me. But again, neither here nor there. But, of course, because they responded to the call first, now the backup comes in, and that's played by Sully and David Chokichi. Well, first of all, reflection nights. David Chokichi pissed me off. He was trying to be funny, TW. Mr. Baywatch himself said, I need to wear sunglasses at night because they're prescription. So, you know, again, I'm looking at this as like, oh, God, we have to have some stupid kind of comedy here. And he's trying to be the prick. I get that, TW.
He's Iceman.
No, he wasn't. I just didn't feel it, TW. He didn't. He just came.
That ends up being a swerve later.
I'm just saying the way he was presented when we first are introduced to him was a prick who wears sunglasses, TW. What say you about David Chokichi?
Took me a minute to realize that was him. Because he was like the guy that replaced David Charvet real young. And I'm like, that guy's from Baywatch. And then I saw his name at the end credits. But the two of them together, the other guy's the drizzling shits, whoever that guy is. And then she goes, let's hurry up and do this. Then you two can go home and jerk each other off. And then they both go, oh, right. That sounds like a great idea. So they're making them gay on top of it. Then the guy in the back of the cop car that they're bitching about still having said, you told me you love me and my dick yesterday, but today, shut up. Like, that was weird that they threw that stuff in there.
Again,
that guy was reminding me. Aaron Hernandez and Gronk had a baby, the guy in the back of the cop car. I gotta pee.
Oh, the guy that was in the that got arrested earlier in the day, and for some strange reason is still in the back of the car just
waiting. It's a small town, they're all buddies.
No, it was a small town. They didn't have backup to send the guy to jail. That's what it was. So he just like
right,
you gotta
wait
in the car.
They all knew each other, is what I'm saying. They didn't care that they still had him with them. And he stays and helps.
I'm just saying it's that reminds you of Blazing Saddles, a small town, and you just don't have enough personnel to do the job and send him to jail. But anyway, neither here nor there. But let's not forget the reality TV crew that is well, what's the girl's name? I got it in my notes. Kayla, who is the you could say the director, TW, and of course your favorite of the movie, your MVP, Joey Fatone. So
he's not my favorite of the movie. He's a bum in this movie.
He's not a bum. He had good moments in this movie. What are you talking about? The man that's
the whole dynamic. They made it look like Sully's hitting on that girl and she's not responsive, but then all of a sudden they're acting like Fatone and her are together. But then that doesn't pan out. It's weird. What's the name of this dumbass movie?
Army of the Damned. How the hell are you asking me the name of the movie, but then you saw it and then you wanted us to do it? I can't believe you. I can't believe this reflection. Again, you know, we're going to take a break from movies for a while because, again, we're going to try to go into this as best as we can. Again, we're trying to give the abbreviated version. But again, TW, you did not like the comedic overtones of Joey Fatone?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, what?
Look at that chick now. Doesn't even look like the same girl.
No, it don't.
That was the blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas. Look,
well, again, this came out in 2013, TW, so, you know, it is what it is. They try to, you know,
update. Better is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, when you look at the IMDBs, you get the pictures of today, not the pictures of yesteryear.
She's aged better is what I'm saying to you.
I know.
Jackie Moore is her name.
But again, TW, the question is, what say you about the comedic overtones of your favorite in this movie, your MVP, Joey Fatone?
She almost looks like Kari Wuer. he's terrible. He's terrible. He's the cliche. Like, they make him out to be a fat dummy. He's always eating candy or donuts or something. I don't know what else he does, but
he's the camera guy.
Right.
His job is to be the camera guy. And
you want to see... You want to see your favorite McDonald's employee?
Who? Oh, Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, this McDonald's gear.
Why think I'm wearing that shit?
I don't know.
I don't remember him wearing McDonald's gear. And that's Piper. Okay, that's the WCW Piper.
Yeah. This is the worst figure ever. Look at this head right here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they didn't even finish making it. Like, it's not bait. It looks like Schwarzenegger.
No, he's crying.
Got the big gold belt.
He's supposed to be crying. I don't know
and
why.
Your favorite Spank Bank.
Okay. Charlotte Flair.
Woo! Yeah.
TW, you retired. You retired from this, man.
Well, I did that for Ray because it's been a minute.
I'm just saying. But anyway, let's get back into this movie because this house, TW, this house is a portal between heaven. Well, I don't know if you can say it's a portal between heaven and hell, but this house, because of this virgin girl, this virgin Red Riding Hood, is the doorway portal with good and evil because of the souls are being stuck. Because you see the dining room, there's like four or five dead bodies. You go to the attic, there's one guy just looking at a wall.
No, he's painting with blood.
He's painting with blood and then kills himself. So what say UTW about this? Because this is Amityville Horror. This is Invasion of the Body Snatchers and all this. Again, these indie-rific movies, and it's not rific that I like it. It's just indie-rific because I say that as more sarcasm.
It's like watching the AEW of movies.
Yes, you can see. He got it. But again,
it's all over the place.
That's what it is. That's what I'm trying to say. They always take from other movies. What's the ATW about this house? The House of Horrors.
It's weird because it makes you think, was there a fucking script? Or did they just film scenes and then patch it all together at the end? Because it's so scatterbrained. It's just, it's all over the place. Like, the thing about it is, it's at least fun to watch. Whereas the Kurt Angle movie was just god awful, and you get the gist that they thought they were making a masterpiece, right? Like, they paced it. This has no pace whatsoever. There's a point where I feel like this movie's never going to end, but it has to be near the hour and 21 minutes that it says it is. And then you get the ending and you're like, ah, there we go. It's not ending. You know, it's the ending is the beginning of the next movie that they clearly never made 11 years later. But,
well, you know what? Let's talk about, well, it is amateurish, but like I said, the MVP of this movie is Tommy Dreamer. And we must at least talk about the zombie Tommy Dreamer, the zombie Tommy Dreamer, the zombie Tia Trinidad, because again, when Chokichi Sparta said that Tommy Dreamer moved, he wasn't at the spot where he died. And then, of course, Tommy Dreamer, why did they kill him off first? I don't get it.
To make him a heel zombie. He was the big muscle.
But he should have
wanted his body.
But you know what? The problem, why I don't have no problem with Tia Trinidad being quote unquote like one of the leaders of the zombie horde, if you will, because they gave her the knife so she could be like more like, you know, badassery. But Tommy Dreamer,
like, she got killed. She ended up killing somebody with a knife like that.
I know, I'm just saying, but Tommy Dreamer had so much more potential as a zombie killing off people. But they just made, you know, Sully had to kill him off. Chokichi had to kill him off and all that stuff. What say you, TW, about the zombie performance of Tommy Dreamer?
He wasn't the first zombie killed off. Chokichi got his head blown off.
No, Tommy Dreamer was the first zombie killed off within the movie.
When he was fighting at the ambulance and everything?
Yeah, it was him.
And that was the other thing. No, it was after Chokichi, because Chokichi got shot in the head. And I'm like, that must be how you kill him. And then Tommy Dreamer got shot like nine times in the heart.
Yeah, by Chokichi, by Sully, and all that stuff. They all ganged up on him.
Chokichi was not there. It was a guy in the back of the police car, did the handcuff across his teeth, and he goes, "Help me." And it was the old man that already got killed.
You slept through this. I didn't. I saw it. I know what.
Chokichi got shot in the fucking head by The Hills Have Eyes, blew his fucking head off when he was about to kill Sully.
That was later.
To stab him with the 2x4.
That was later.
Hacksaw Jim Chuckabee.
Tommy Dreamer was the first zombie to get killed by a lot of people together. It was Sully. It was the dude in the police car that was arrested. And then of course it was Joey Fatone, your favorite. They all shot at him. But what say you about the performance of Tommy Dreamer, the zombie?
He was a wrestler. He could have been in Wrestler versus Zombies as either one. He went full Frankenstein.
He could have made it better if he was a part of Wrestlers versus Zombies, but again, neither here nor there. And for Tia Trinidad, again, the way Tia Trinidad looked, of course she's sexy reflectionized, don't get me wrong, but they were trying, again, an indie-rific movie. You could tell that she was trying to, you know, let's say hone in on that Michelle Rodriguez Fast and the Furious with the way she was dressed, and then, you know,
Resident Evil.
Yeah, whatever. Well, she did a little bit. She looked a little bit of Fast and the Furious too. But again, I'll go with the Resident Evil. But you get where I'm going with the analogy of Tia Trinidad here, TW, with when she was in that zombie-rific mood that she was in, and then, you know, honing up, and then
she cut her hand off where it was wounded and made the knife there. Yeah. But what I want to know is, why is it that her and Maria Kanellis both become strippers when they came to life as a fucking zombie? Everyone else gets killed. They're in their regular ass clothes they were wearing when they got killed. SWAT uniform, please. Not her. She's in Ronda Rousey's wrestling gear from SummerSlam. Black bike shorts and a black half shirt. But it's like, what, she woke up as a zombie and said, let me get rid of this fucking uniform, cut my hand off, and make it a fucking knife. It was just weird that those two had to become strippers. And then Maria gets killed on the floor. By Chekovny, I think, is the one that killed her. Chekovny.
I think it was Tia killed Maria Kanellis.
Okay, and then she wakes up on a bed and then gets up and starts doing a striptease, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? And then you never see her again. She blows up in the house.
Well, possession makes you horny when you're a female. When you turn into a zombie, you turn into a...
That's what it was. It's the person that possessed her hadn't had sex in a couple hundred years.
There you go. See, it works everywhere. And Reflection Ice, yes. It was... I think it was not more of Tia Trinidad doing the stripperific dancing. It was more of Maria Kanellis because she danced on the bed.
But I'm talking about the way Tia dressed. She got out of the uniform and was wearing like...
That's what I said. It was more the Michelle Rodriguez, like you said, Resident Evil. She was just trying to capture that mood like and all badass. That stuff. Yeah, she wanted to look like a badass zombie, and then Maria Kanellis looked like a porn star. You know, she got horny and she needed some zombie dick. But again, that's the way it worked for this movie. So... let's get into the conclusion of this movie, because again, we talk about Maria Kanellis. She's part of this elite assault team that is led by Candyman himself, Tony Todd. Of course, the backup is supposed to be arrogant. The backup is supposed to like get the job done. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be easy peasy, TW. But of course, you're in a haunted house that's possessed by zombies and all that stuff. And they all got... here's how bad it was. They have the assault rifles ready, and the only thing I remember about the assault team is one of the dude's guy's name was Beefcake. Wasn't Brutus the Barbecue Beefcake. His name was just Beefcake. I'm not lying, Reflection Ice. Just go ahead and Google this. But anyway, neither here nor there. But TW, this was the wackest assault team I ever saw, getting killed very easily by Chokichi, getting killed very easily by Tia Trinidad and all that stuff. What's the ATW? Because again, I understand the reasoning that they're arrogant and they need to die because you don't like the characters at all. But they made it look too easy. Sometimes you at least make them work for your soul. That's all I'm saying.
And Candyman, like, I don't even know how he died. He just standing there looking at the guy. I think it was Beefcake that ended up killing him or whatever.
Could have been, but he tried to shoot and then...
as the zombie with the little flickering eyelids, and it takes a hit of a vape. And you're just like, what the fuck is happening here? What? Why would a devil possess a guy's body and go, oh, let me try this vape. Ooh, I like the vape. It's weird. It's a weird movie. A lot of weird choices. But again, I'm sticking to this. It was fun to watch. It wasn't work. It wasn't laborious like it was watching the Kurt Angle
movie. It's quirky, Reflection. That's all I'm just saying. But again,
it's almost 80s. Horror movie bad.
No,
like Joe Bob Briggs Theater.
80s never had bad horror movies, TW. They were all good.
Basket Case, Maniac Cop.
It was good.
Better than this shit, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. But anyway,
I wouldn't say good.
The main event, Reflection Ice, is, excuse me, is Sully and the reality TV crew, the guy that was arrested, joining forces with The Hills Have Eyes, Crazy Earl, as Crazy Earl had to go back to his house and reload and all that stuff. And of course, that was the scene. And then they all, you know, white people go into trouble. You know, black people and Puerto Ricans, they just drive away and just go to a different town. Again,
I don't see nothing.
I don't see nothing. But again, they go in there. They must, you know, stop the whole world. They must save. I don't know about save the world, but they must stop the zombies.
The zombies will be walking the streets.
Well, that's a funny thing, because once the house got blown up, you know, they got the girl and all that stuff. Jasmine St. Clair's people come into the fold.
Ah, you know, that was Jasmine St. Clair, the one giving the guy the rundown at the end. Okay.
Yes, all right.
Now I got it. So yeah, that was Bill Maher's girl.
But all those agents were possessed. They all had the black eyes. And then the plot twist, Reflection Ice, is that the virgin little girl and the, I don't know if the reality TV director was.
She said, how do you feel about single moms?
Yeah, so all of a sudden she was related to this little girl, and now Sully's the chosen sperm. I don't know. That's the way it ended for me, TW.
Right.
How did you interpret it?
Here's what I want to know. How the fuck this house blows up, and they one by one dive out of it with a blast behind each one of them. Wouldn't the other ones have been caught in the first blast? And then they come in the house and it's completely intact and the bodies are gone?
They can't afford the cinematography. They can't afford the CGI.
They blew up the basement or the portal.
All I'm just saying, they couldn't afford it. It was not in the budget.
Who was the one that detonated it?
Crazy Earl.
He took one for the team?
Yeah, he strapped himself up with a detonator, and he was at the portal door, and of course the house blows. Well, technically the house didn't blow up. The basement blew up. The house still was in good condition, so everybody could come in. But again, TW, every agent that came in, most of the firefighters that came in were possessed. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
It's a lost cause. If you can't beat them, join them.
That's all I'm just saying. And then, of course, Sully is now the sperm donor that must, you know.
I took it as she was about to kill him. Like, thanks for getting me this girl. And he says, you never answer me. Do you date cops? She goes, that depends. What do you think about single mothers? And I'm like, aw. And then she goes, because I'm going to fucking get it now that you gave me the soul. Like, she handpicked him to get the girl for him.
You know, I get it with the possession shit, because that's the quirky 80s stuff. You know, when you think you've made it, and then that one person, sometimes that one guy or one girl, you know, they went through hell to survive, but then their soul gets taken. I got that part, Tito, but I'm just saying, it was just kind of stupid that everybody got possessed within the house in the morning. That's the way it looked to me. So with that being said, reflection, I said there's nothing really left.
Time out. One question I have for you. Okay. I did fall asleep during this, but didn't they make reference to the fact that Shakovny, he was wearing the glasses so that nobody could see his eyes? He was one of them all along.
No, it was just prescriptions.
Oh, he did get first. Attacked then.
Yeah.
And then who the fuck did Crazy Earl shoot when he pointed the gun at Fat One? And Fat One goes, what are you doing? He goes, duck. He ducked and he shot him. He goes, good shooting. Didn't even tell us who it was that he shot.
One of the zombies that was in the house. It could have been one of these. It could have been Beefcake.
He came through the van because he shot him against the van. I think his dick was already leaning against.
I'm just saying, it could have been Beefcake. That's all I'm just saying. But anyway, there's nothing really left to say, Reflection. We got a good kind of, you know, I got the minutes I needed out of this show to have a decent show. So with that being said, TW, we have to grade the movie. And, you know, the last show, I gave Kurt Angle's movie a triple Z because I thought it was still too high. But with this movie, I am actually going to be fair here. I'm going to keep with what I'm saying. It's stupid, but it's quirky stupid. And that's very positive for the professor. So with that being said, TW, I'm going to give it a nice C-. I think it's high. Yes, it is. But I think it's so bad, but it's so good. For me, it was so bad, but I wanted to watch it to see where it went. It was so bad, but the acting still saved it for me because, again, Tommy Dreamer was the MVP. I liked him as a zombie. But again, I wish he was more into he should have more zombie roles instead of getting killed off so quickly. That's just my humble opinion. So a C- from the professor. What's the ATW? And we can get out of here.
This was already my rating before you said the C-. And I thought, that's funny, because that's the other one that I toyed around with. I give it a D+ because it wasn't as bad as we're making it sound. And again, I believe I gave Kurt Angle's movie an F. I don't remember. But that movie I wanted to turn off immediately. This movie, like you said it best, I wanted to see where it went. Because all the people that made me want to watch it, Sully, Tommy Dreamer, Thea, and Joey Fatone, all of them didn't disappoint me. Like, I wasn't embarrassed for them. I was embarrassed for Kurt Angle. I was not embarrassed for the four of these guys. Plus, if you think about it, I mean, Godsmack's not that big of a band. They're a big band. Most people, at least in the 90s and on, who are listening to music know who they are. Tommy Dreamer, Thea, Fatone, and Sully. This is entry level shit to get their foot in the door. Kurt Angle was a fucking world famous Olympian and professional wrestler. So there's no excuse for him to be in a movie that shitty. Like, if we're going
to be fair,
Hulk Hogan and The Rock's dumb movies, Suburban Housewife or whatever the fuck that was, Mr. Nanny, whatever the hell he was, and the Tooth Fairy, at least they were fucking Disney and New Line Cinema. They were like, someone put money behind it, and they were actual movies. They just were terrible. This is just, you feel like if you look at the credits, Sully wrote and produced, I thought they were Godsmack songs. One song was Godsmack, the other one was him singing it for that movie, and he co-wrote it with somebody else. So it almost makes you feel like it's like one of those self-finance deals. Indie Riffic, you know? Yeah. Whereas at least Hogan, Cena, Rock, all their terrible movies were actually movies that someone invested in. They weren't like, the movie should have never not been made. It just wasn't executed, or it just was terrible.
And the perfect thing was, it's free. You could watch it free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to rent it and then go to sleep and then pay $9.99 Reflection Nights. So if you want to see this, we are actually, for the first time in PWR movie history, are actually saying, yes, go watch Army of the Damned, featuring Tommy Dreamer, Tia Trinidad, Maria Kanellis, and Jasmine St. Clair, and of course TW's favorite doppelganger, Joey Fatone. You need more, you gotta, you know.
I don't have a hat down here. I put the hat on. That's why I'm just saying,
you need some Dark and Lovely.
Profile picture him. He's got a hat on.
You need some Just for Men, Dark and Lovely, and then I can.
He's all great now, but he's got a full beard. I don't.
Yeah, you can do it. I think you can do it. But with that being said, we close on this PWR at the Movies here at the Homie Media Group at Podbean.com. And next week, TW, we're going back episodic. I'll find something. It could be WCW. It could be NWA. It could be GLOW. It could be WCCW. It could be UWF. It could be USWA. It could be Mid-South.
I know what I want it to be.
What do you want it to be?
I don't know. I've never done it before, I don't think. But if we have, then you tell me. Mm-hmm. I want to do the Monday Night Raw that had the match of the year that started Shawn Michaels' run of PWI match of the year for 6 years in a row. Shawn versus Marty for the Intercontinental belt.
Well, that's back in 93. We got to find it. All right, let me see what I can do. Yeah. All right.
I'm not guaranteeing it yet,
but we're going episodic. So if I can try to find the Raw where Shawn and Marty were fighting, I'll find it. But if not, I'll keep it episodic in some way, shape, or form. So with that being said, TW, give out those socials so we can get out of here.
Yeah. PWC Network's on probation, but it's on probation at PWC Network at Podbean.com. Homie Media Group is at Podbean.com, as well as ChannelAttitude.com. Our show is on the X at PW Reflection, where you can also find Big Ray Hernandez at X, which is Twitter, X, Snapchat, True Social, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere you can find social media at Big Ray Hernandez is where you'll find Big Ray. And you can find him every Wednesday live on the Next Level podcast. You can find me at TommyWonder19 on X as well as Instagram. Also, Snapchat is NumberWonder, Facebook.com/TommyWonder. And my other X is at TheTommyWonder, which is also my TikTok. And you can find Big Vito and Noel at Big Vito Brand at TikTok, on TikTok at Big Vito Brand. And then you can catch the early release of the Reflection video where you can see all my action figures at Big Ray Hernandez on X.
And you can find me on the Xer at PWSO PRF, that's PWSO Prof. And hopefully if this gets uploaded by the slowest motherfucker out there, 8-Track Brown, this will be on the PWSO YouTube networks. Follow my brothers in arms, Billy Ray Valentine at Obi-Wan, you know me, and the king of the reactions, 8-Track Brown at the number 8. TRAC Brown. And again, next week we're going episodic. Maybe we will do the WWE Raw with Marty against Shawn. Maybe we'll do WWE. Well, maybe we might do NWA. We might do UWF. I don't know. We might do an organization that y'all never heard of. I don't know. I might even get teed up. We might even do the Detroit Wrestling Federation. I don't know. I'll find something. But then again, neither here nor there. And with that being said, I'm the professor. That's Mr. Dum Dum doing its own. Mr. Iron Stomach One, Mr. Dr. Frankenstein One, the Detroit Heavyweight Champion of the World, TW, Tommy One is saying goodnight, and we'll see you next time here at the PWR Podcast at the Homie Media Group at Podbean.com. You need to upgrade your tag team belts because they changed it. Peace!
Nice.